So I'm going to ask you to turn, please, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses of this passage, Jesus to his disciples. This is right after the healing of the blind man. And obviously, implications there for spiritual sight as well. So follow along with me as I read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And again, if you're using one of the congregational Bibles, that's page 798. This is what Jesus said and was recorded by John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Would you join me in just a moment of prayer as we prepare ourselves to meditate together and listen to the Word of God? We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for these words that were spoken once and then preserved in writing for us down through the ages, inerrant and infallible. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you still speak to your sheep, that you call us to yourself, that you are able to get through all of the barriers that we may put up, or the distractions that may gather our focus, or even the hard-heartedness that we have, you are able to soften and bring us to a point of hearing your voice and following. Lord Jesus, may you speak once again. May you gather us to yourself. May you instruct us, lead us, grant us eternal life. Give us that abundant life for which you gave your own life and then rose again. We pray this in your name. Over the centuries, Jesus has been the subject of many portraits. William Holman Hunt's Light of the World comes to mind based on the text in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Christ in this portrait is standing at a door that is overgrown from years of neglect. He's holding a lantern with light illuminating the door, and there is no doorknob if you look at closely at the portrait. There is no doorknob on the outside where he's standing. Presumably, the door must be opened from the inside. Obviously, a message that we must open the door of our internal being to Jesus. We turn to the 20th century. We may think of another artist, Warner Salmon. His depiction of, for instance, the head of Christ has been copied some 500 million times. You wonder, how could that possibly be? Well, it is that portrait of the head of Christ the one that you often see on a pamphlet that's given out at funerals. He also has taken many of the masterpieces of the past and given his own interpretation to them. So Jesus himself left us a portrait. He describes himself in this passage, a portrait, a self-portrait. Now you could say that the four Gospels are all portraits of Christ, and they are. But Jesus here gets very personal with a series of I am sayings in the Gospel of John. For instance, previously he said, I am the light of the world. So when he says, I am, and begins to describe himself, this is a self-portrait. Today we're looking at his saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Traditionally, this has been translated, I am the door, but more accurately, it is a gate. And so Jesus said, I am the gate. Now, as we look at this passage, Jesus obviously is the main character. He's speaking of himself, but there's another character, or rather characters, who have a very prominent role to play in this illustration by Jesus, and we call them, or he called them, his sheep. Since Jesus is the good shepherd, his followers are the sheep. Are you one of his followers? I want you to be able to recognize whether you are among Jesus' sheep. So I want to point out three characteristics of Jesus' sheep this morning. If you follow along in the outline that I gave to you in the bulletin, the first characteristic is that Jesus' sheep know the difference between the true and false ways. Sheep know the difference between the true and false ways. Look again at verses 1 through 3. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. That gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And then, if you've noticed down at verse 8, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep have not listened to them. They know the difference between the true and false ways. There are many imposters that would lead you astray. Jesus characterizes them as thieves and robbers because they either mean you harm, which will usually for their own ends, or they may have intentions that seem good, but in the end are harmful for you. The context of this statement by Jesus is what just occurred in chapter 9. Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath. The religious leaders inquired after the man as to how he was healed, and when he reported what Jesus did, their only concern was that Jesus did this on the wrong day of the week. He did it on the Sabbath. When they asked the blind man's opinion about Jesus, and he gave a favorable opinion of Jesus, they threw him out of the synagogue. Symbolism cannot be lost on us. The blind man gained his physical sight and became a believer in Christ by gaining spiritual sight. The religious leaders who were sighted physically, had physical sight, could not get over the fact that Jesus was not beholden to their traditions and their authority. He upstaged them by healing this man, so they pronounced it an evil act. Though they were teachers in Israel, they failed to see that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They refused to believe in him. Rather than enter through the gate, they are the thieves and robbers to whom Jesus is referring. Blind man and Jesus' disciples are obviously sheep. Jesus is the true shepherd. The true shepherd is characterized by his concern for the sheep, his willingness to sacrifice himself for them. And in this case, he gives his life for the sheep. While the false shepherds are characterized as those who mean to harm the sheep. You don't come in through the front door, Jesus says. It's likely that you are up to no good. And the religious leaders were not coming through the gate. This is a warning to you and I to be careful, because there are many imposters out there. The Pharisees of chapter 9 were not obviously evil men. They were religious teachers. They had the religious credentials to be in charge, yet they were leading the people away from God. So we must be careful and we must be discerning. If anyone or anything is leading you away from the Christ of this Bible that we have open here this morning, if they're leading you away from the Christ of this Bible, then they are false teachers. Remember many years ago, I received, I guess somebody, must have been the doorbell rang. I was going to say a knock on my, people don't do that anymore, we have doorbells. Two women were standing there. I went out on the front porch and sat with them, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Just to be clear, Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is God who came in human flesh. They say he was a created being. They call him the Archangel Michael, who then became Jesus of Nazareth. It is a complete denial of Jesus, the incarnate Christ. Now, of the two women who were there that day, one was very knowledgeable and did all of the talking. The other was a novice, and she was there to learn from the more experienced woman. And as I spoke of Jesus and demonstrated to them the deity of Christ through the Gospel of John, beginning with John 1:1, starting there, going all the way to chapter 20, the climax of the Gospel, I demonstrated over and over again that Jesus was God come in the flesh. As I did this, I kept hoping that my words would find a lodging place in the heart of the novice who was sitting there. The other person seemed to deflect the truth. The soil of her heart seemed to be hard, so hard that it didn't appear that the seed would penetrate. Her way was false. She offered a false view of Jesus. She represented the way taught by thieves and robbers. The other one was new to her faith, and I hoped that her heart and mind were still open to the truth. I kept trying to show that their belief system contradicted the words of Jesus. I wanted her to know the truth. You see, it matters which way you go. More and more in our day, we are taught that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere in what you believe. I would simply say no, because truth matters. How can you know the truth? How can you discern the true ways from the false way? This is the point of departure, right here in my hand. This is the point of departure. Our world puts forward many sources of truth. We have experts, academics, those with authority. Many claim to be the source of truth. But if what they claim departs from this book, then you are to depart from them. This book is the Word of God. It is the way you discern truth from error. You are to know what this book says. This book will point you to Jesus. If anything or anyone leads you away from Jesus or the truth you find in this book, you need to return to the book. If anything or anyone begins to distort the truth about the God described in this Bible, then you need to turn away and do not listen to them any longer. No matter how good or attractive they may seem on other matters, eventually they will lead you away from the God of the Bible. So we must cling to the truth of Jesus. Jesus tells us who he is. We must believe that. Well, the second characteristic of Jesus' sheep is that sheep embrace Jesus as the gate to eternal life. Sheep embrace Jesus as the gate to eternal life. Look at verses 7 through 11 in this passage. Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I remember attending a funeral at least a decade or more ago where the pastor provided good pastoral care to the family of the deceased. Did a good job of making the message personal to them. He brought out things that would have meant a lot to the family, good memories they had, times they could look back on and even get a laugh from. I appreciated that. There was very little mention of Christ, and even less mention of the hope we have in the resurrection of Christ. There wasn't mention of a personal faith and the difference it makes for us to know Christ personally. I wanted to hear more about Jesus. I guess I shouldn't be surprised because the funeral was held in a church that no longer looks to the Bible as the infallible and inerrant Word of God. They no longer preached that message. They've already given up the foundation of truth. It should not be a surprise if they begin to drift away from belief in Jesus as our true shepherd, the only gate to eternal life. Now let me talk a moment about sheepfolds, because Jesus slightly changes the kind of sheepfold that he is talking about in verses 7 through 11 compared to the one he spoke of in verses 1 through 6. So in Jesus' day, there were two kinds of sheepfolds. There was the communal sheepfold around the villages and the towns. The shepherds, keeping their sheep out in the fields by day, would bring them into the village at night. And there would be more than one shepherd that would bring his flock into these sheepfolds. And as they did, they brought them in at night and they would be enfolded in that sheepfold. It was a well-contained space with a strong door, and that door had a doorkeeper. Only the doorkeeper had a key to the door. No one could enter the sheepfold except the shepherd known by the doorkeeper. And that's the kind of fold that Jesus was talking about in verses 1 through 6. But there is a second kind of sheepfold in Jesus' day. During the warm season, the shepherds would take the sheep far, far away from the village. They would be gone for weeks at a time, and at night they would enclose the sheep in folds that were built out on the hillside. Those folds were simply walls enclosing a space that had an entrance. There was no door to that entrance. And once the shepherd had gathered his sheep in that fold for the night, he himself would lay down across the opening of that sheepfold. So there is a sense in which the good shepherd was the gate to the sheepfold in that case. And for the sheep to enter or depart from the sheepfold, they had to pass over the shepherd's body. It was that kind of sheepfold that Jesus was talking about in verses 7 through 11. When he refers to himself as the gate, or as you may know it, as the door. So there are two things that qualify Jesus as the gate of eternal life that no one else can lay claim to. Verse 10. He lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11. He lays down his life for the sheep. So his death is one of the things that qualify Jesus as a good shepherd, because his death was on behalf of those who would follow him. It was to take away their sins. This, of course, is a reference to the cross on which he bore our sins. John the Baptist called it when he pointed at Christ back in John chapter 1. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So Jesus is qualified as the good shepherd because he gave his life on behalf of the sheep. The second qualification is found in verse 17. He says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again." So this is referring to his resurrection. His death and his resurrection qualify him as the only gate to eternal life. There is no other way. If the sheep is to get into the fold, he must cross the gate of Christ Jesus. He must have faith in him. Roger Fredrickson, former pastor of First Baptist Church in Wichita, wrote of a conversation with John R. Mott. Now, Mott was a visionary layman who spent the early part of the 20th century calling a whole generation of students to faith in Christ and missionary service. He was well into his 80s when Pastor Fredrickson spoke with him following a passionate missionary address to several thousand students. Despite the passion with which Mott just spoke, he was fresh and eager to share when Pastor Fredrickson asked him about his Christian pilgrimage. Mott spoke simply and tenderly about his, what he called his capitulation to Christ as an undergrad student at Cornell University, and then of his continuous growth in the Spirit of God ever since. It had all been a great adventure for him. And then he concluded, after being on hundreds of university campuses in more than 80 countries and having seen all the great religions of the world firsthand, I know now more than ever that Jesus towers over all the movements of history and religion. He is absolutely unique. He stands erect among the fallen, clean among the defiled, Savior of the world, King of kings, and Lord of hosts. There is only one gate to eternal life. It is Christ, the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for you and then took it up again. If you come to him, he will open the gate to eternal life for you, and he will invite you into God's fold. When you are in God's fold, you are secure from all harm. Just as he opened that gate of salvation for you, he will close the gate to the old way of life and sin. You are on one side, the side of forgiveness and peace and life. And on the other side, shut out and away from you then is your sin and guilt and condemnation. The Good Shepherd has admitted you into his fold. And he intends that you have life and that you have it more abundantly. Well, the third characteristic of Jesus' sheep is that they know and follow his voice. They know and follow his voice. Verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He has brought out all his own. He goes on ahead, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Following of Jesus by his sheep is bound up in a personal knowledge of him and intimacy with him that recognizes his voice. Sheep trust that Jesus is the one who cares for them. They are able to distinguish between their shepherd and others whom they do not belong to, because they have come to know him and they therefore trust him. Because this is so, they are willing to follow. They know they are never far from his care. You may know the name Mylon Lefebvre. Grew up in a gospel music family. He was in church every night of the week, singing and playing and talking about Jesus. At the age of 17, he wrote the song Without Him. Elvis recorded this song, and it made Mylon a lot of money. Most of it, he says, he spent on cocaine. At the age of 19, Mylon Lefebvre recorded a Christian rock and roll album and began touring with the band. On stage, he preached about Jesus. Backstage, he lived the stereotypical rock and roll lifestyle. This went on for a number of years until Mylon finally came to the end of his rope. In desperation, he called out to Jesus. The next day, he said to a friend of his, I've been singing about Jesus all my life, but last night I met him for the first time. After that, Mylon's music stayed pretty much the same style, I suppose, but his life changed. He exchanged a career that he was trying to build in music for a ministry in Jesus' name. He exchanged a religion for a relationship, because that's what following Jesus is about. He then knew Jesus. John 14, one of Jesus' followers says to him, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you that you have not come to know me fully?" Jesus went on to say that he who has seen him has seen the Father, because he is in the Father and the Father is in him. But Jesus' question to Philip is one that we must consider for ourselves. Have I come to know Jesus? It is a personal relationship. It begins with faith. This is what he wants for us. Verse 27 of John chapter 10. Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Being one of Jesus' sheep means that you can discern the voice of Jesus because you have personal knowledge of him. This is not some esoteric experience with the Lord. It is a personal knowledge born out of time with him that will come to you in prayer. It will be as you read Scripture. Gospels are particularly good at helping us get to know Jesus because they are about him. They teach us his words. They show us his deeds. The story of his life as it relates to God's mission for him found in the Gospels. When you learn of him in the Scripture, it becomes easier to discern his voice in your heart and in your head. Notice the result of hearing his voice and knowing and being known by him in verse 27. The result is that you follow him. You know his voice, therefore you follow him. It is a life of obedience lived out of devotion and simplicity. By simplicity, I mean that when you recognize the voice of Jesus through Scripture and prayer, you obey. There is no inner argument with the voice of Jesus. No inner argument with Jesus as if you know better than he. Obedience becomes your reflex, because it is your desire to please the Lord. This is what simplicity is. Obeying the voice of Christ. This is the path to the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Have you recognized yourself this morning in the description of the sheep? Because sheep have three characteristics. First of all, they know the difference between the true and false ways. Secondly, they embrace Jesus as the gate to eternal life. You must come to a personal faith in Jesus. And finally, then you know and follow his voice. And this comes over experience, walking with him, praying, reading the Scripture, and listening. So are you one of Jesus' sheep? He is the only true shepherd who can lead you to what you truly want and need. He is the gate to eternal life. He died and rose again. He alone is qualified to save you. Remember the portrait of Christ that I spoke of earlier, the one by William Holden Hunt. It's called The Light of the World. It is the one with Jesus standing at a door knocking. It's covered with vegetation, like it hasn't been used for a while. But he's knocking. There's no handle on the outside. It requires you to open it and let him in. Well, it is a similar thing with the gate to eternal life. In order to gain eternal life, you have to open the door and go through that gate. Instead of hoping you are saved or assuming you are saved, you need to place your faith in Jesus Christ right now, because he is the good shepherd. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who died for your sins and rose again. So why not walk through that gate even this morning? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, you have given us your word. We have read it this morning. we understand it. Lord, would you create faith in our hearts that we might truly embrace Jesus as the way to eternal life. Lord, for any here who have not yet done this, would you enable them to consider the truth that they've heard this morning? And would you bring them to a saving faith? And Lord, for all of us who have come to that moment where we have been saved, you help us to grow in our knowledge of you, that we would always recognize your voice, and that our response would be that we would follow because we know. Lord, may you gather your sheep to yourself this morning. We ask this in your name.
Merci.